I want us tonight to think about one song that we can sing congregationally, and I want us tonight to be a part of that. As a part of our lesson tonight, those of us who are in this auditorium will sing the chorus part of a song. We're going to sing it four times. And so while there will be a few of us singing here, I encourage you, even if you're in a home by yourself, when that time comes, for you to be a part of the kingdom of God, at least this part of it, as we, with one heart and one soul, answer a question that is a part of this song. I think it's remarkable, the wisdom of God in putting singing in the church. You know, singing is tied to your emotion. Does not James 5 say, "Is any merry? Let him sing." Think about all of the Psalms whenever David talked about the greatness of God and praising the greatness of God and everything that was involved in praising the greatness of God. And there were also many of those Psalms that became a part of the New Testament worship. Does not the Bible say, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs? And that's what we do oftentimes. Oftentimes we'll just take one of the psalms, it becomes the whole basis of that lesson. Then there are those songs that are not psalms, because the psalms were those given directly by God, but they are hymns that have been written. And there are those songs that have become a part of our worship, and some of the newer songs are occupying in our hearts some of the places that we really love and appreciate, just like the one we just sang, "As a deer panteth by the waters." You know where that came from? There's somebody reading the book of Psalms and read that verse over in the book of Psalms, and he began thinking about it, and he said, we need to put music to this so that we can use the very words of God in a melodious way to speak to each other about these very matters. Sometimes I think we've misunderstood what the spiritual songs were, but evidently those spiritual songs were songs that were given by the Holy Spirit before they had ever had any men to write spiritual songs. You think about the many of the songs that we sung in this building already today, they're spiritual in nature. They're not from God, but when the church began, there were no spiritual men to write these psalms or to write these songs. And so the Holy Spirit, just as it gave prayers in an unknown tongue, gave songs in an unknown tongue. And for the very reason that the church would have songs in an unknown tongue and have prayers in an unknown tongue, so that individuals who could be a part of that service where a man could stand up and proclaim the Word of God, it's the first time they would have heard it. And the very same thing about singing. You've come out of paganism, and there is that individual who by the Holy Spirit has a song, and he teaches that song to the church. And so there are those spiritual songs. And so the Bible talks about, I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding. And then he says, and the very same thing about singing. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding. But you and I are blessed at a time whenever there are those individuals who have written songs that can change our hearts and change our lives. I want to talk to you tonight about one of those songs. I want us to understand that when this song was written, it asked four questions. Each of the first part of each of those verses of the song asks a question. And then the answer is given in the refrain, in the chorus part of it. But what a song it is. There are those songs who, in my estimation, for whatever that's worth, there is that music that fits the very heart and the temperament and the soul of the songwriters. Sometimes there are other songs that they just do not seem to fit. But there are those songs where the very sentiment and the movement of the music touches our souls in a way, and they just blend together. And such is this song, "Does Jesus Care?" I want us tonight to be reminded of something that you and I already fully understand, that Jesus does care. But in the midst of the trials, and particularly the isolation that we're having at this time here in America and around the world, we need to remind each other that Jesus does care. And so the chorus part of that song in that very first verse asks this question: does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth and song? As the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long, you and I need to understand that since the beginning of the creation of the world and the entrance of sin into the world, this world has been filled with troubles and trials. It's difficult for me to imagine what Adam and Eve must have thought when and if they saw the body of Cain. You stop and think about it. They'd never seen death. And perhaps God gave them understandings that we're not aware of. But can you imagine? All of a sudden, here are those two sons, and then one of them is lying lifeless there. What's just happened? And then as you continue to live with Adam and those generations that came, think about all of the evil there was in the world, so that when you get to the time of Noah, every thought and imagination was on evil continually. Imagine the righteous, the sons of God, who at a time like that said, what's going on? Is there hope? No hope? What's this all about? And so you take some of those words of Matthew chapter 24 and use some of them to describe the history of mankind on this earth. Wars and rumors of wars and famines and disasters. And to that we add hurricanes and sickness and poverty and oppression and job loss and 1,000 other things. There are so many people that are troubled. And you tonight may be one of those who is really, really troubled. And your heart is so burdened. And your heart is saying, perhaps not in these exact words, but from the depths of your soul, you're crying out, does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for me to even sing? And my sad heart is broken, and the burdens depress, and the cares distress. You and I need to understand that these troubles that are in this world sometimes press us down. There's an interesting word that's translated elsewhere in the Bible into the English by the word tribulation. And it described what would happen in that grain press, or perhaps to a lesser degree in that wine press, when that heavy rock would take and come over that hard grain, and it would press down upon that grain until the very chaff was broken away from the eating part of that wheat or of that grain. And it's that very image that the Bible uses to describe tribulation. You may tonight be in that situation in which you feel that very same way. The song says, the burdens press. Think of that word tribulation. And then look at this. And then it talks about the fact, and the cares distress. Cares distress us. That's why the Bible talks about the fact that the cares of this world can choke out the Word of God in that parable that Jesus spoke, the parable of the sower. You and I need to understand that it's not necessarily sinful things, but the burdens that are on us and the cares and concern of this world can so burden us that we'll lose spirituality. Cares distress, and the way grows weary and long. God never would have said, let us not be weary in well-doing, unless there was a need for us to to say these very words to each other and to say the very words given by God, let us not be weary. Does Jesus care when my heart is pain too deeply for me to sing? The burdens press and the cares distress. And oh, what a long journey I'm on. The question it is, does Jesus care whenever I have troubles so great that I cannot sing? What's the answer to that? Jesus shows in Bible story after Bible story that He does care. I want us tonight, in answering two of the verses of this song, to talk about Matthew chapter 24. David mentioned it in the lesson this morning. Of those individuals whose world had ended at the cross of Jesus. Can you imagine what it was like on Friday night whenever those disciples went back to their home? It was over. You stop and you think about what they must have felt and the emotions that they had felt. They had thought Jesus was going to be everything, going to be the answer to all of their lives, and now He's dead. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained so bad I cannot sing? How much joy was there in those disciples on that Friday night? Luke 21 shows those disciples, beginning in verse 13, walking down the road, and visually on their face was grief and agony. That may be you tonight. You may feel so distressed and the burdens are pressing you down so much that it's showing in your face. And Jesus came to them and said, what's wrong? And they said, haven't you heard? Haven't you heard? Are you a stranger? Are you not aware of what has transpired in the last 48, 72? Are you not aware of what's happening here? And then they said, here's why we're distressed. We had hoped. Look at the tense of that. There was those times when those disciples began to follow in Jesus, and as they began following Jesus, they put all their trust and hope in Him. They might have not have understood His Messiahship and understood what the kingdom was, but they had invested absolutely everything. And now it's Friday night. It's Saturday. It's all day Saturday. Their hearts are burdened. The burden is greater. It's over, folks. There is no hope. And thank God that's not true of us. And thank God for the way David reminded us about the hope that we have in that lesson this morning. We don't have a song we can sing. Let me tell you what Jesus did. Jesus, when people's hearts were broken, began to remind them what the Scripture said. I want you to hear that. Men with long face who have lost all hope, walking down the road in despair, despair so much, it's on their faces. And you know what it does? He said, let me tell you what the Bible says. And He began to talk to them about what the Bible says, and the very thing that chokes the Word of God out of our lives whenever stressful times come in our life, Jesus brought that very same thing back into them, and He began to talk to them about the Scriptures. They didn't know who He was. And that long and weary road was changed whenever He opened their hearts to the Scriptures, and when they finally recognized who they were talking to, they said, was our heart not burning within us when He opened the Scriptures to us. And if tonight you're filled with despair, I want you and I urge you to get out your Bible and understand that though the way is weary and long, there is His help. You've heard this said. In fact, I preached this very sermon here. It's Friday night. Just wait till Sunday morning. Does Jesus care? When my heart is pained too deeply for sorrow, for song or mirth, the burdens press and the cares distress, and the way grows weary and long. I ask those of you who are here to sing with me, but not just sing these words and think about hitting the right notes. I want your soul to sing these answers to this question. Does Jesus care? Does Jesus care? Let's sing together. Oh, yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. And so this week, if your heart is heavy, think about the words of this song and the affirmation of faith. I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. Second verse. Does Jesus care when my way is dark with a nameless dread and fear? As the daylight fades into deep night shades, does He care enough to be near? We've mentioned those wars and famines and hurricanes and those other things that we can know about. And these known burdens can be shared. We talk to each other on the phone. How are you doing? I know some of the things that's happening in your life, and we can talk about them. But there are other nameless burdens that cannot be shared. This may be you tonight. You may be in this audience here. You may be in your home. And there's news that has arrived. Within the last weeks, perhaps the last month, people have told you some things about what's happening in their lives, and you cannot share it with anybody. You've been told it confidentially. And there is that anxiety that is there because of what's happening in your life, or what they may have shared because of you were such a close friend with them. What they may have shared with you about what is burden, their burdensome things, and you can't tell anybody about it. It is a nameless dread and fear. And then the night comes. I do not know why, when night comes, troubles become greater. But I do know that there is that loneliness that we sometimes have in the middle of the night when tears flow down our cheeks. When your eyes are so burdened that perhaps even our wife or husband in the very bed with us, they're not even aware that we're crying. Some burden that you have and you don't know how to handle it. Does Jesus care when my way is dark? And there's something I cannot even talk about that I'm afraid is about to happen. And in the night, that burden becomes so much greater. And the question is, does Jesus care enough to be near? You see, Jesus knew loneliness Himself. There were burdens that our Savior had that He alone, He had nobody on earth He could talk to about. Imagine how many times He said, and think about this from your knowledge of the Bible, He struggled with the apostles. Have I been with you this long and you still don't understand this? He'd performed the miracles of feeding the one multitude, and when the next multitude came up, they'd even forgotten about the first event. In fact, over and over again, he grieved about them. In fact, just before he ascended into heaven, the Bible said that he rebuked them because of their unbelief. They did not listen to those women who said he's been raised. It's all about loneliness. The burden of Jesus was such that had we looked only at the human side of him, that's what we would have seen. He'd spent all of his life, devoted all of his energy. And here are these 12 men. And at the cross, they're not there. At least at Gethsemane, they all forsook him and fled. Jesus knew loneliness. And we sing that song. He could have called 10,000 angels. But hear the last part of that song. He didn't. He died alone. You may think that tonight that there is some nameless problem that you have in your life and there is nobody on earth that you can talk to. I want you to know that when we ask the question, does Jesus care, the story is abundantly clear. Dan Fuller, the very text you read, in that he hath suffered being tempted, he's able to aid those who are tempted. I think this is interesting. One of the verses you read prior to that from Hebrews chapter 2 said, he did not offer aid to angels, but he offered it to us, those of us who are Christians. He did something for us because he understands how we suffer. And Hebrews 4:15 says, he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And because of that, we do most certainly have a high priest who can be touched. And think about that refrain, his heart is touched. Who can be touched with our feelings? Does Jesus care? He left this earth, but before he left, he said, guys, don't worry. I'm going to send another comforter to you. And when that Holy Spirit came, he gave to them the very thing that Jesus had been giving to them in person, and that is the very words from heaven, the very words of the Scriptures. And those words of the Scriptures given by the very Holy Spirit of God strengthened those individuals at that time. And so Jesus would say, I am with you always, even to the end of the world, Matthew 28, verse 20. And Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And in verse 5 it says, having said rejoice, he says, the Lord is at hand. When I'm lonely and troubled, I need to cast all my cares upon him because he cares for me. Does Jesus care when my way is dark? Think about yourself. And in your loneliness, you may be in your home right now all by yourself. Does Jesus care when the way is dark with a nameless dread and fear? As the daylight fades into deep night shades, does he care enough to be near? Let's sing that chorus again to answer that question. Does Jesus care? Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Third question, Does Jesus care? When I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong, when for my deep grief there is no relief, though tears flow all night long. One of the problems that every one of us struggles with, it makes no difference who we are, everyone who's hearing me right now, one of the greatest trouble in our lives is dealing with failure. And when we hurt others and when we let them down, we feel great burdens of guilt and failure because people that had confidence in us no longer have confidence in us. I'm a failure. Think about when I have failed my Lord and Savior. When I've grieved Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw Peter denying him, and the Bible says Jesus made eye contact. I don't know what Peter did, but at times like that, my head would have been bowed in sorrow and embarrassment because I let the devil get the upper hand. And not only have I hurt others, I've hurt the Lord. And Satan has won. He's overcome. And forgetting about his grace and mercy, I sink into deep depression and endless tears. That's what this verse is all about. When for my deep grief I find no relief, though my tears flow all night long. There are those times when there's no one on this earth who can help us overcome this situation. The question is, does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist temptation? And I don't have any feelings good about myself. I feel like I am a worthless servant of God. We mentioned two things we've already mentioned before, but with a different emphasis, and that is Jesus showed he cares to so many people in so many ways. And we mentioned Luke 21 again, because that manifests the very heart of all of the apostles, but focus especially on Peter. Peter, how do you feel? Cursing and swearing, I let my Lord down. I was the one who was in my heart and in my greater moments would say, though all men forsake you this night, I'll never forsake you. I'm the one who had the sword in my hand in Gethsemane. And now here I stand at the fire of the enemies of God, warming myself with the ungodly, and I'm denying my Lord. There is grief in my heart when I deal with that. And my world just ended. My world just ended. Put yourself in Peter's place. Forget where you are whenever you have let the Lord down. Imagine how much Peter let him down at that time. Peter was one of those who had hope, but they no longer had hope. He was one of those who once sang, but he no longer sings. But the power of the Word of God and the words of Jesus helps unbelievably at a time like that. We need to never let our grief overwhelm the grace and the mercy of God. Let's never put our grief of disappointment in ourselves and feeling of worthlessness above grace. And let us never put our misery above His mercy. Remember, Jesus forgave Peter, and He would have forgiven Judas. Let me say it again. And He would have forgiven Judas. And if he'll do that for us. Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong, when for my deep grief I find no relief, though my tears flow all the night long? The question is, does Jesus care? From the depths of our hearts, bless all of us, even those in your home tonight, join in with one heart and one mind and sing to our God. Let's sing. Oh, yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. And finally, does Jesus know when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me? When my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks, is it all to Him does He see? Who's the dearest on earth to you? Those studies that have been made say that dealing with death, especially the death of a husband or a wife, is the greatest grief anyone can have. Think about that. And where you would be at this time if the dearest on earth to you should die. Some have said, and some mothers have said to me, I've buried a husband. It's far more difficult to bury a child. And that may be true. That may be the dearest on earth. And you walk away from that body of that child or that body of that individual to whom you've been married for all of those years. Does Jesus really care? When I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me, let me say to every one of you who's married right now, either you or your husband will face this very thing in their lives. I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me. He's no longer there. We're saddened. There's emptiness within our hearts. My sad heart aches till it nearly breaks. And people come up to you and say, well, I know how you feel. Very few can honestly say that. Very few have lost the dearest on earth to them, and don't you ever be guilty of saying it. And that very special relationship that you have or have had with your wife or husband, nobody else has that kind of relationship. And the time may come in your life when the dearest on earth to you is no longer a part of your life, and your sad heart aches until it nearly breaks. And sometimes just hours, sometimes it's a few days after the funeral, that the compassion that others have shown during that period of time ends. Sometimes we carry food to those who are bereaved, who've lost loved ones. And I remember one person saying to me, and when they stop bringing food, they stop showing compassion. And that's when this song becomes a part of your heart. Does He care? When I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me, in those days, there's no one that cares. And the song says, is it anything to Jesus? Does He see? You see, the question is, does He care when death has stolen my joy? ask Jairus, whose 12-year-old daughter had just died. Jesus is going to Jairus' house, and on the way, there are people that interrupt him all the way over to Jairus' house. There are interruptions, and by the time he gets there, the message is, she's dead. And I think it's ironic that those people who were weeping inside the house, Jesus says, get out of here. Ask Jairus. Jairus, does Jesus care when the dearest on earth to you, when that 12-year-old daughter of yours died? Does he see? Does he have any compassion? And he can tell you. Ask that widow of Nain who'd lost her husband. There are widows listening right now. Ask that widow, does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me? And add to that, that other great thing that may even equal and surpass the grief over the loss of a mate, and that is the grief over the loss of a child, and having lost both a husband and a child, does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me? Ask her. Ask Mary and Martha about Lazarus. Are you aware that Jesus knew Lazarus was going to die? He knew he was dead before he ever arrived at the house when he said to the apostles, he's asleep. I go to waking him out of his sleep. They didn't understand what he was talking about. You and I do. And listen, Jesus knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, and Jesus was standing there looking at the very grave of Lazarus, knowing that he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, and yet Jesus still wept. Why? He'd lost a friend. And two people who loved him dearly, Mary and Martha's heart, were there saying, Lord, if you had been here, he would still be alive, but he's dead. You were not here. But Jesus wept, even knowing that he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. What compassion is that? And the weeping that Jesus did and the tears that flowed down his cheeks that day show how much he cares. And I say to you, don't ever be ashamed to cry when some loved one of yours has died. Jesus wept. And the fact he wept shows us how much he loved the deceased and how much he loved those who survived, the passing of Lazarus. These empty tombs show that Jesus cares. They assure that tombs of loved ones will be open. And when he saw the griefs of Mary and Martha, he wept. And when he sees your tears, know. Let your soul know ahead of time and know at that time that he still weeps. For he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when you stand beside the grave of the one who's dearest on earth to you, weep. But rest assured, as we sang tonight, above the bright blue, there is that place who are riven from life's trials, live and love in eternity through. Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me? Let's answer it by singing the chorus one more time.
Oh, yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long night's dreary, I know my Savior cares.
To those of us who are alive, let me assure you there's a path by which we can live under the care of Jesus. You don't have this care unless you are a Christian. And on the screen, you know the very words that are there. You've heard them read before. Believe in Him, repent of your sins, confess your faith, and be buried in a watery grave and raised to walk in newness of life. And someday you'll be buried in another kind of grave, and there'll be another resurrection. And Jesus cares. Does Jesus care? Let us answer with one heart and one mind. I know He cares. I know His heart is touched with my grief. Let's sing one more song and have that final song and then a closing prayer.